Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to week three of Pathways. It's good to see everybody here today. I'd like to thank Pastor and Sister Dainsworth for trusting me to speak in this Pathway session. I've asked Sister Jessica Moss to pray before we begin. This is her last Sunday. We're sure going to miss her and Josh and the family. But if you would pray, I'd appreciate it. Yep.
Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time to come together. God, thank you, Lord, for the Pathways and helping us grow closer to you. I pray that you speak through Sister Tamara today, God, that you help us to learn how to be still in your word, learn how to get closer to you, how to be emotionally healthy, God. I pray, Lord, that our ears and our hearts are open to what you would have us to say. Help us to leave here changed today, not just hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And I pray that you bless Sister Tamara and the rest of the leaders in this class for the work that they have put into this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I've passed out scriptures to some of you, so when you hear your scripture mentioned, go ahead and read the scripture, okay? Week one, Brother Elijah spoke on how thoughts shape emotions, habits, and spiritual health. Week two, Sister Drigger spoke on practicing attentiveness to God's presence in daily life. And today we're going to talk about stillness, intentional responses, and habits for spiritual renewal. When this schedule came out for the classes, I specifically asked for this date. I want to give honor to God for what He's helped me through this past year. I'm here today by the grace of God. 1 year ago yesterday, I lost my husband suddenly to a massive heart attack at a doctor's appointment. No warning, his vital signs were perfect. In the shock of it all, I told God that day, if He would help me walk this journey, that I would do whatever He asked me to do. 1 year ago, I would have never been able to stand in front of anyone to speak. I had so much anxiety in crowds. After walking through what has felt like the cruelest year of my life, anything He asked me to do is easier than grief, the loss of a spouse. Grief and death are both biblical. Living is also biblical. So I choose to live my life to the fullest in whatever He calls me to do. He's been so faithful to me every day, and I want to honor Him today above everything else, and I want you to know that He'll be with you through whatever you go through. If you have your handout, we're going to start in the middle of the lesson, and I'm doing this on purpose because life throws everything off, so I'm not doing anything in order.
Okay.
So the middle part of the lesson, learning to slow down, responding rather than reacting. Reactions are often driven by emotion, pressure, or impulse. A reaction is usually our first thought, something that happens quickly. Has anybody ever made a decision based on your first thought and reacted to it? Do you want to share? Do anybody want to share? No. We usually regret it, don't we?
Yes.
Responses are shaped by wisdom, prayer, and discernment. A response is often what remains after we pause long enough to invite God into the moment and give Him room to work. In other words, we get out of His way. That always works out much better. Wisdom often grows in the space between what happens to us and how we choose to respond. This does not dismiss emotions. So many people think that we cannot have emotions, but God gave us emotions. The issue is not about having feelings. It's about allowing God to shape our response. A reaction asks, how do I feel? A response asks, Lord, how would you help me to respond? Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is pause. James 1:19. Who has that verse?
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
What are some things your mind is full of from the past? Do you have thoughts that come to your mind that you want to get rid of maybe sometimes, or that you just can't handle but you don't want to think about them anymore? Philippians 3:13, who has that?
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before.
A prayer I've been praying lately is, Lord, help me to forget the things I don't need to remember. And I think he'll take some of those things out of our mind if we don't really, if they're not beneficial to us. I think he'll take them from us. What are some things your mind is full of about the future? Things you're looking forward to, maybe things that maybe might happen, maybe things that might not happen. Sometimes we can get anxious about things that might not happen in the future. God never asks us to erase the past. He simply invites us to trust him in the chapter we're living and continue walking toward the purpose he still has ahead. God's not saying get over it and move on. He's saying honor the past. If you have bad memories, honor where God's brought you from or what he's going to do through you. Use it as a place of reference. You don't have to dwell on the past or stay there. There's seasons we never forget and people we never stop loving. Those memories become part of our story. But God is, in his goodness, continues to write our story. He invites us to treasure what has been, trust him with what is, and walk with him into what's still to come. Galatians 5:25. Who has that?
If we live in the Spirit, let us walk also walk in the Spirit.
Faith honors yesterday, embraces today, and walks with God toward tomorrow. Or another way to say it, remember with gratitude, live with purpose, walk with hope. Some biblical principles. Patience allows room for understanding. Who has Proverbs 14:29?
He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly.
Self-control guards our words and actions during emotionally charged moments. Mm-hmm. Who's good with self-control? Anybody? It's a process. How many have a story of a time you lost control? Nobody wants to share that either? Come on, work with me.
About every other week with my kids. Maybe every other day.
Yeah, your kids can challenge you to do that, can't they?
Yesterday was a hard day.
Who has Proverbs 25:28?
I do. He that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls.
Self-control is about allowing wisdom to lead. There's wisdom in knowing when to speak and when to remain silent. Have you ever started to say something and then you were glad you didn't say it? You never have to apologize for what you don't say.
Right.
That's a good thing to remember. Who has Ecclesiastes 3:7?
I do. It says a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak.
Wisdom knows when to speak, and love knows when to listen. So when we learn to love through God's eyes, he helps us with all of that. People often feel seen when someone listens long enough to understand before trying to answer. I think there's something that's something Jesus modeled so well. He asked questions, he listened, he paused, and then he spoke with purpose. How do you think our responses impact others? People watch us, don't they?
I think they impact others way more than we even realize, yeah. Even though we're in here talking about it, because it's not just our words. They're watching our faces. They're watching our body language. And we all do that.
Yeah.
They say we judge someone in the first 20 seconds after we meet them.
Yeah.
So I think it's a constant thing.
It is.
You do have to be very mindful of how you come across.
It is. That's true. We're going to the bottom section now, developing habits that support mental and spiritual renewal, renewing the mind. Have you ever had days that you've taken so much you have to get away from everything for a little while?
Oh, yeah.
It's important for our minds to rest. Who has Romans 12:2?
I do. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Transformation begins when we allow God to reshape the way we think, see, and respond to life. Renewing the mind allows God's word to shape our thoughts, attitudes, and decisions. Lasting change often begins with a changed perspective. God can help us change our perspective. This is not a one-time event, though. It's a daily invitation to think, from God's perspective rather than our own. That's why it matters what we allow into our minds. It influences the direction of our lives. A renewed mind leads to a steadier heart. Have you ever been so anxious about something and then you just sit for a minute and pray about it and then you just calm down? God's word can really, really calm us down. It's so powerful. Can somebody give me an example of how you focused on something that affected your emotional health? Anybody? You're all too quiet. I need help. Nobody wants to say anything? Who has Philippians 4 and 8?
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Paul reminds us to be intentional about what we allow in our minds to dwell on. Meditation on God's word provides direction and stability. Who has Joshua 1 and 8?
The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success.
Daily habits rooted in God's presence cultivate peace and steadiness. Who has Isaiah 26 and 3?
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
I've quoted this scripture almost every day over the past year. Perfect peace is not found in perfect circumstances. It's found in keeping our minds centered on the one that we trust. His presence will be in the middle of your brokenness. When I focused on my circumstances, I would have a lot of anxiety. But when I quoted scriptures over my situation, I always had peace. Some practical habits are daily prayer, time in God's word, reflection, and journaling. I've done some journaling. I'm not real good at it, but I try to do it every once in a while. And it does make a difference if you like to do things like that. Healthy habits do not earn God's love. They help us remain aware of His presence. When the presence of God is in your situation, there's nothing like it. Meditation turns Scripture from something we read into something that we live. What healthy habits have you practiced that help you become more aware of God's presence? Somebody has to talk. Yeah, read the Bible.
Just praying simple prayers as I go through life. Like, I always pray, Lord, help me be a good steward of the money you've blessed me with every time before I go in the grocery store. And I mean, it really does make a difference. So sometimes those little prayers that you just say real quick affect you. You know, you're like, whoa, God answered that prayer. And you think, all I did was say a quick prayer. God is so good.
He is. He's faithful. Anybody else? Jaron.
I rarely pray for 30 minutes, but I rarely go 30 minutes without praying. Like Paul said, they pray without ceasing.
It makes a difference. It really makes a difference. That's a great habit to be in.
I have a couple of things that happened at work this week. So I recalled our previous lesson about breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I did it. And in that moment when I was breathing, I was like, wow, thank you, God, for allowing me to breathe like that. And then before I knew it, I was thanking Him for a lot of things. And I was just kind of, it was kind of a season, I guess, or a time period of thanks. And then I forgot about whatever was going on.
That's awesome. Yeah. Small choices we make help shape the direction of our lives. That was a small choice, but it changed your day, didn't it? Why stillness matters. Who has Psalm 46 and 10?
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
As I share my journey through grief, I want you to understand that grief is simply my story. But your story is probably different. Maybe your words depression or anxiety, addiction, loneliness, disappointment, fear, or sickness. When I say one of those words, you can feel the weight of them, but God wants us to give those weights to Him. They're not ours to carry. We try to carry so much that's not ours to carry, but when we give it to Him, the whole situation changes. The circumstance might not change, but the way you look at it, the outcome is different. You know, it just changes your perspective in every way. Over the past year, I learned something about stillness that I never expected. In the beginning, I couldn't stand to stand still. When I read, "Be still and know that I'm God," all I could do is think about my circumstances. Stillness felt painful, and at times it felt really cruel. I wanted to stay busy. I wanted to distract myself. I wanted to run. But deep down, I knew God was with me, and even in those difficult days, He gently directed me back to Him. It was hard. There were times I begged God to take control of my thoughts, and I didn't need to beg Him because He would do it for me anyway. But slowly something began to change. In the stillness, I discovered that my circumstances did not prevent God from doing the work in me. And it won't prevent Him from doing a work in you, in your situation. The pain doesn't stop, maybe. The questions don't stop. The grief or whatever you're going through doesn't stop. But His presence is always there. I learned that stillness is not the absence of pain, but it's discovering that God is in the presence. He's present in the middle of all of it. Because the truth I discovered in the stillness wasn't only about grief or whatever your word is, whatever you're going through is. It was about learning that my circumstances did not prevent God from doing the work in me. And the same is true for you. Whatever your word is, it doesn't prevent God from being present. It doesn't prevent Him from working. And it doesn't prevent Him from revealing His faithfulness in the middle of it. Jesus regularly withdrew to pray, showing the importance of intentional time with the Father. Who has Psalm 119, 15, and 16?
And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed.
He got away from the noise. He got away from the distractions. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes we have to just turn everything off. And we have to go to God in prayer and spend time with Him and meditate on His word. God's word was never meant to remain on the page. It was meant to become part of our lives. Stillness creates space for God's word to become more than information, but it becomes transformation. Focused prayer calms the heart and aligns our thoughts with God's will. Philippians 4:6-7.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Sometimes stillness feels uncomfortable because it reveals things that we've been carrying. Yet God meets us in those quiet places. I know one night I woke up and I asked God, going through the grief, I just said, just go ahead and crush me. Just go ahead and crush me. If there's anything in me that don't need to be, let's just go ahead and get it all out at the same time. You know, the pain couldn't be any worse. So, you know, there may have been little things here and there, but one night I woke up and I felt a spirit of jealousy on me. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it came on me, but I knew what it was. But I looked in the Bible and it said, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And I'm like, well, I sure don't want that because I know what that's like, you know. But I'm like, take it from me now. I don't know where it came from. But, you know, He revealed that to me. And so I'm thankful that He took it from me. And now that I know what the Bible says, I knew what the Bible said about it, but it reminded me if it's as cruel as the grave, that is not something we want. We don't want a spirit of jealousy or whatever else that might come. But he will reveal stuff to us to make us pure and holy. You know, we're not perfect. We're not never going to be perfect. But I'm so thankful that he's by our side at all times. Can anybody else name a time when that's happened to you? Please speak.
Well, for myself, I don't know how long me and Pastor Dangler said you should make a journal and write down everything God's done for you. Well, I was praying one morning, getting ready to read my Bible, and the Lord instructed me to go through and read my journal. I was like, oh, that's going to take a while. And it was just a reminder of me that when the devil throws up my past or maybe even just current mistakes I made, I need to go reflect back in the past and look at all the wonderful things he's done for me. And when I read the journal, I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. You did so much for me. But sometimes you forget of all the things he delivered you from. He blessed you financially, physically, or just even when, like, when I lost my parents. And all the good memories from them, so much stuff that he wants me to reflect. And sometimes you need to go in the past and look what all he's done for you.
Does anybody else? That's great. Does anybody else have anything?
I kind of hate to say this right after Brother Boggs was so uplifting. this isn't really uplifting, but the word journal keeps coming up. My son was 19 years old and very suddenly died. And my sister came from Maine to stay with me for 2 or 3 weeks. And every single morning, like the only time I didn't think about it was when I was sleeping. So when I would open my eyes in the morning, the first thing I would do is just cry. That was back when I had tears and I could cry. I can't cry now, but and then that would wake my sister up. So there was a counselor that was in the singles class at the church I went to, and she would call about every 3 days and check on me. And she said, I told her what was happening. I said, I can't get past this. It had been several weeks that every morning I'd wake up and cry. So just softly, I was trying not to wake up my sister. But, she said, put a pen and a paper right next to your bed. And as soon as you wake up, write down the thoughts that you're thinking. And I'm telling you, I only had to do it one morning, and the next morning I woke up with no tears. Oh, it's like, you know, it makes me think of the Bible where it says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. My yoke is easy. And it was like, I know that I wasn't necessarily praying. You know, it was hard to pray for a while after going through something like that. But just writing it down, it's like, counselors will tell you that, but it really works. It gets it out of your head so that you can take a baby step forward. And for me, that was a huge baby step to not wake up and automatically cry every morning. So I'm thankful to God for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. We don't slow down because we have nothing to do. We slow down because our souls need to hear from God. It's hard to hear from God in the middle of all the noise. I remember the day at the doctor's office, I was sitting in the room by myself when I realized what was happening, but I felt the presence of God with me. So I already had a relationship with God. You don't really think about that. You know, we serve God, we go along every day, but when tragedy struck in my life, he was with me immediately. I felt him in that room, and I have felt him with me through my tears, through my crazy fits, through wanting to run and hide. He has been with me every step of the way. And so no matter what you go through, he will be with you every step of the way. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lean not translates to propping yourself up on a broken crutch. Human intellect, logic, and emotion are limited by what we can see in the present moment. Leaning on your own understanding means making major decisions based strictly on what makes sense to your finite mind, which leads to anxiety when things go off script. This verse is a blueprint for building wholehearted trust. I've lost my place, sorry. It constructs our human limitations with God's absolute sovereignty. It provides a framework for shifting our reliance from our own fragile perspective to God's perfect wisdom. When I make plans, I usually have a plan A through Z. I used to be a plan A person, and if it didn't go my way, I would go. But I learned through event planning when I was in Raleigh, me and the ladies that I worked with, we had a plan A through Z, and we would borrow from every letter almost, but it always worked, and nobody knew that there was a that the plan A didn't work out. But trust him with all thine heart means there's no room for a plan B. He has it in control, and we don't have to think outside the box. We don't have to think about plan B. All we have to say is, God, take this, and you just, I'm going to follow what you say, and it's just a lot easier when we do that. My story may not be your story, but God's faithfulness reaches every story. The one who sees your whole story can be trusted with the chapter you're living in. What might God be saying that I have been too busy to hear? Does anybody want to talk about that?
I think it's real easy in this life to let the noise and the busyness crowd out what God might be trying to say to you. And it's hard to hear him when you're full of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's the cares of life or the stress or, you know, work, school, whatever is going on. But I found the best way to kind of combat that is to fill myself with him before anything else gets the chance to get in me.
That's right.
So, and like you were talking about waking up in the morning and writing down your thoughts. My first thing in the morning is I got to fill myself with God, because if I start doing that, it's hard to fill a cup that's already full.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm already full of God,
yeah,
I can hear him a lot better throughout the day than if I'm letting, you know, if I pick up my phone first thing and, you know, I'm letting social media or the news or whatever get in my mind. And that just starts your day off to where you're so busy that you can't hear him. But if you start your day kind of in that little bit of stillness, it just, it gives you the chance to let the rest of the day have room for him to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you might be surprised at things he speaks to you, things that you otherwise would have been too caught up to notice. Mm-hmm. And then that, I think, feeds back into the thankfulness. It just lets you live with that kind of thankful heart.
Yes. Another thing I'll say is show up, even when you don't feel like it. I can say that I made a choice on day one. I knew it was going to be hard. I'm a strong person. I've always been a strong person, but I didn't feel so strong that day. But I made up my mind that I was not going to allow Satan to win. And I knew what I had to do. I did not lay in the bed, not one single day. The entire year, not one day did I lay in the bed feel sorry for myself. I got up when I didn't feel like it. I went. I made sure I was at church. I don't think I missed too many services, maybe a couple. I don't know, but it wasn't many. Because when you show up here, I couldn't stand to be anywhere, not even here. I couldn't stand it. But when I came, God filled my spirit, and he gave me room. He gave me strength for the next step. People that gave me a hug. Women that prayed for me. There's women in this room that I would call and say, I am really having an attack right now. I need for you to pray for me. Having people in your circle that will pray for you when you don't have strength to pray for yourself. It matters, because I'm telling you, I could not have made it this year without some of these ladies in this room. I couldn't have made it without all of you. When you hugged me, when you told me you loved me, you did not know how you were healing me. God used you, and he uses us as a church body, as a family. We really are family, and it matters what we do. It matters about the person that sits next to you. We don't know what each other's going through, and God will help us. God will direct us if we're close to him just to say hello. We don't have to know what somebody's going through, but just that hug, just that, how are you doing, just I love you. Those are healing words, and that's what we're here for. We're here to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, and He will work through us. When we think we're not important, that is a lie from Satan. We are important. We are the body of Christ, and we are here to help each other through life's troubles. You know, Brother Damesworth can't do everything. Sister Damesworth can't do everything. So we have to be a church body, a family, to help everybody out. And we can't take the responsibilities of everybody. We can't fix everything, but we can love people. We're called to love people. We're not called to fix everything, but we're called to love people. And when we love people and they feel loved, so many wonderful things can happen. And you can grow. You don't have to stay stuck in your situation, because God will bring you out. That's what I have. I got through quick because you all didn't talk.
Oh, that was the last question.
Courtney, do you have anything to say from a young person's perspective?
You did great. It was perfect. Yeah.
I'm sure somebody has something burning that they thought about saying. Now's your chance. We like to hear your stories.
I didn't need to read mine.
Oh, did I skip it? You read it. I'm sorry, I skipped over it.
It's Philippians 3:14. I push for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
That's a great scripture. I feel like that's how I feel. You know, when you're going through problems, that scripture really stood out to me, because you're pressing. You're trying to push through whatever it is, you know. And if you have a made-up mind, you can do it with God's help. You can't do it by yourself. Tina, can you say something?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
You're so good. Pam, what about wisdom? Give me some wisdom here.
Well, I just have the thought in our having been married for almost 58 years to this one guy. And early on in our marriage, I said, Mom, I'm so worried about this. Well, is worry going to help Pam? Well, quit worrying. And I have learned to literally, I mean, there's things that stress me from time to time, but there's things we can pray, and that's all we can do, and we have to trust Jesus. And I think that's the bottom line on that. But I'm glad to live that kind of life.
Yeah. When we learn to trust Him, we don't waste time on all this worry, things that we can't control, but we sit back and we watch Him work everything out, and it is beautiful the way He works things out. So many times I would get thoughts in my head, and I think He would speak to me and say, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get ahead of yourself. You know, because all women especially, they want things to work out. They want to have a plan. They want to know how things are going to work out. Well, we don't always know that. But if we trust Him through life, then He will help us slow down. He'll help us make the right decisions, and He'll work out things that we don't even know He's working out. And He does it perfect.
And we can listen for that still small voice. And I found just more in the more recent year or so to listen to Him. And He may take you a different path down another road to avoid this or that.
Completely.
We have to trust Him. I've almost been killed with 3 seconds in front of a gigantic tree on Father Street. They fell right in front of me. Wow. And that saved my life. And there's another one I'm trying to remember just in the past year. But to listen, and don't jump in your car too soon. Don't do anything too soon. If I had jumped in 1 minute, 10 seconds earlier, I would not be here today. Mm-hmm. And that's a trivial example, but we've got to walk with.
Yeah. That's happened to you a lot, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Yeah.
Yeah, I love hearing your stories about that.
I
was just thinking when you were talking about, you said you told the Lord, just go ahead and crush me.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to put myself on you, but I applied that to myself, knowing that I'm impatient, and like, I just want to get the hard part.